Hi, it's Randy Morrison, Associate Editor of thecorporatecouncil.net. I'm here today with Matt Orsog, Director of Capital Markets Policy for the CFA Institute. In this podcast, Matt discusses proxy access, including the CFA Institute's prior research and the implications of the SEC staff's recent suspension of views on Rule 14a8(i)(9). Matt, thank you so much for taking the time today to discuss this topic.
Thank you for having me.
Can you summarize the key results of the CFA Institute's 2014 research on proxy access?
Sure. It's a paper called Proxy Access in the United States, Revisiting the Proposed SEC Rule. And we, like everybody else, were taken by surprise a couple years ago when the original rule that the SEC put forth was vacated due to a court challenge. And we thought in the impending years, surely the SEC will either revisit this or someone will write on it and try to answer the questions the court asked about cost-benefit analysis and some of the other reasons that the rule was originally vacated. That didn't happen, so we thought, well, this seems like an interesting project for us to take up. And so we looked into those questions and looked into proxy access in the United States, kind of the cost-benefit analysis, what was the viability of it, would it be positive, negative, or neutral. And what we found was there's limited examples of proxy access globally to be able to dive deep into the cost-benefit analysis that the courts were asking for. It's just used so rarely. We looked at a couple markets, the UK, Canada, Australia, and some others that had a similar system to the United States. Of course, every market's different. And it's used very infrequently where it's used. And that hit at one of the arguments that it would be kind of used by mischief makers or special interest groups to kind of gum up the works of the proxy process. And as we said, it's used so infrequently, that doesn't seem to be the case. And one of the interesting things we found was through a number of different event studies that came about somewhat in response to the rule being vacated, that the markets looked favorably on proxy access. One of the interesting things was before the kind of answers that courts were looking for, its cost-benefit analysis, a lot of the research just wasn't there because the rule wasn't there to test it. But when the rule was vacated and taken away, the markets reacted around vulnerable to proxy access and those that weren't vulnerable to proxy access. And you can look at those event studies and see that in mass, when you look at them in aggregate, they tend to look favorably on proxy access, and the markets reacted unfavorably to companies they thought would be approved by proxy access and vice versa.
Okay. Given that proxy access is no longer a back burner issue, does the CFA Institute still believe that SEC rulemaking mandating proxy access is warranted or necessary?
Yeah, our research led us to believe that it's probably time for the SEC to take another look at proxy access. The current state of proxy access is that we have private ordering, and that's not a uniform rule that any investor can depend on or understand. They have to understand, okay, this is what the rule is at company A, this is what the rule is at company B, company C doesn't have proxy access, and so on. It makes more sense to have a rule that applies to all companies. Private ordering, what we have now is investors or some companies themselves can put forth a proposal for proxy access, and the original rule that the SEC put forth a couple of years ago was investors that had share owners that had held 3% of company shares for 3 years could propose, I think, up to 20-25% of the board. Now that can be with private ordering, that can be anything. It can be 3 and 3, it can be 5 years, 9%, whatever the person or corporation wants to put forth. And it just makes more sense to have a uniform standard. When the SEC first was looking at the rule, they looked at would it be make more sense to have a different rules for smaller companies. That would be up to the SEC in the rulemaking, but we think a more uniform standard would make more sense.
Okay, does the CFA Institute's position on proxy access take into account the diverse investor and issuer communities and associated disparate views on proxy access?
That's one of the reasons we looked into the report is, there were concerns about from those who weren't fans of proxy access that, as we mentioned before, would it be used by special interest groups to get their own members on the board or gum up the works of the board and make mischief? And what we found that there wasn't that probably wasn't the case, but because it's used so infrequently. And even if you get a nominee on the ballot, you still have to have convinced 50% of the votes that your idea is the right idea. You know, it becomes a contest of ideas at that point. And what we see proxy access as is, and what investors tend to see it as, is it's a accountability mechanism that share owners can have for the board that ultimately will likely drive more engagement at companies. Look at what's happened with Say on Pay, look at what happened with majority voting, and the amount of engagement in the U.S. that's come about. We see proxy access would probably just enhance that trend, which is a good thing ultimately.
Okay, it sounds like your preference certainly is not for private ordering, but I do have to ask, in view of where things stand right now, does the CFA Institute support private ordering in the interim?
Well, private ordering is what we have now, and I would say if you're an investor is interested in proxy access, it's better than nothing. I think it's instructive to see what comes out of private ordering. Certainly this year you have, with what the New York City Comptroller's Office is doing, you'll have, I think at last count, 90-plus proxy access proposals just so far this year are in the works or planned. So you're going to have a interesting test case this year and in the past couple of years, but the numbers in the past couple of years have been so much less that you couldn't really glean a lot from it. It'll be interesting to see, you know, in the past couple of years we've seen through private ordering that the markets and investors tend to have a preference for the 3-in-3 model that we just mentioned. So things like that can be instructive. But as I said, a uniform standard is more workable for investors and companies alike. And I think down the road, if something happens, you'll with the SEC or however it shakes out, you'll move to, whether it's through the SEC or through private ordering or whatever it may be, we'll move to a uniform kind of standard that tends to be what folks have settled on.
Okay, and what should investors and companies do now in light of the SEC's suspension of views on the application of 14A8I9?
Mm-hmm. Well, this proxy season is going to be an interesting one. I'm most interested in what makes it onto the proxy ballot. If companies that receive shareholder proposals on proxy access and then look to put their own proxy access proposal on the ballot and then ask the SEC to push away the or strike down the shareholder proposal, saying that there was a conflict, and that's what we were talking about earlier, that with the SEC coming out in January and say we're going to step back from issuing those cease and desist orders on shareholder proposals that conflict with corporate proposals that would have a different number. For example, the first one that came out was at Whole Foods. There was a proposal for the 3-in-3 model, and then and Whole Foods came out with, I think it was 5 years, 9%, originally December, and then I think it became 5-5 or something like
right.
that. But that was based on the SEC coming out and saying, well, if there's a conflict here, so we're going to strike down the share proposal. And then in January, they said, well, we're going to stop doing that. We're going to step back and take a look at things and revisit that. What I'm interested in is, do any companies put both of those on the ballot? I think those will be that would be the most interesting. They have a couple choices. They can put the shareholder proposal on the ballot alone, or they can put their own proposal on the ballot alone if there was a shareholder proposal. But what I've heard from investors is that, you know, that would risk blowback from investors voting against directors and not some nominating committees, because they feel that it's an accountability measure that the company is trying to take away from them. So I doubt that you'll see that, but it's interesting to see what companies will do. And if there's a pure vote of, you know, the contest of ideas I was talking about, of proposal A by investors and proposal B by the company with different thresholds, which one share owners prefer? And it's really interesting what GE did recently. General Electric came out, I think it was just the first week of February,
right,
and put their own proxy access proposal on the ballot. It was the 3-in-3 model that had received the most support over the last couple of years of private ordering. And I'm curious if that gives more corporations kind of cover. They think, well, now GE, who's been a leader in governance and transparency in these areas, if they do it, is it okay for us to do it? And will you see more companies do that before the SEC even gets to anything? I don't know the answer, but I think it'll be very interesting this proxy season to look at what companies do on their ballots. Do they put both or one of the proposals on, and what do they choose, and what ramifications does that have? You know, do they face investor revolt in some cases? And what companies follow the GE model? I think the GE model is one where they worked with their share owners to see what was preferred, and they did something that is, you know, out in front as far as governance and share owner rights. And we'll see. It remains to be seen if that's followed or if that's a one-off.
Great. I guess this is one of those times when everyone will need to just stay tuned to see what happens.
It should be very, maybe it's just because we're in the proxy game and the corporate governance game, but it seems very, very interesting, and I'll be watching it closely.
Sure does. Thank you, Matt. This information has been so informative. I appreciate your spending the time.
Thank you for having me.